Amen.
Good morning. Aren't you so thankful for our worship team? I tell you what, I'm so thankful for their heart and the way that they worship and just allow us to join in with them. And so thankful for our team. If you have your Bibles, if you would, open up to 1 Peter. We'll start the last chapter here this morning. We'll actually be on this topic for a couple of times. Next week, we'll take a break because of Sanctity of Life Sunday and just what we have planned with that. But we'll be right back. But today we are talking about something, if I'm honest, is a little bit awkward because really I'm talking about the pastors and as Peter exhorts them. And so we'll be directly focused upon us and our role here at First Skytook and all pastors in their roles. And one of the things that we'll seek to do is to bring a little bit of clarity as to the responsibilities and then also just the call upon the life of men to spiritual leadership and what that looks like. In many ways, this call is very specific, but as God gives very specific roles to the calling, it does look different depending upon the body, and so it's always going to be a little bit, but there are some very clear similarities that should be there, and as we dive in, you'll see what I mean by that. But before we dive in, just from my heart as one of the pastors here is I am so thankful for this church. I'm thankful for the way that you have encouraged us and welcomed us. I'm also encouraged just by your love for the Lord. And so I want to do all that I can to help equip and to spur us on to love and good deeds and to the works of the ministry that he has called us to do. And so this exhortation to the leaders will be one that is that I believe affects all of us, but as you'll see, will be directly focused at the leadership. And so before we even dive into the word, let's get before the Lord. And one of the things that I notice in my own life in either when I open the Word of God or when I just come to a worship service, is I'm very tempted to do it just out of routine or to do it as something that I always do, and I can miss the power and the presence of our God right here. And so whatever's gone on this week, whatever you have in this next week, whatever is gone on just in life in general, my prayer is that we will use that as and see the things that we deal with, good and bad, as pointing us to the need of a Savior and the need to trust in Jesus and to walk with him all the more. And so let's get before the Lord and call to him and ask him to do what only he can do, and that's to lead and guide us and help us to see the truth of his word. All right? Father, as we bow before you, we bow in submission and surrender. Humbly before you, knowing that we really have nothing to offer this morning other than our praise, our worship to you. And so, God, we pray that we would not be distracted, whether it be by the worries of life or the things that are happening around us, but instead, Lord, we would be so focused upon your word and your presence right here. We thank you for being here with us, and we know that you do not have to speak to us, but we are so thankful for your grace that you do. And so, Lord, we pray that as we open your word and as we read your truth, that we realize that this is your word for us, and that, God, that we would look to you, that we would trust you, and that we would be obedient to you regardless of the cost. And so I pray for each one of us, Lord, as we humbly bow before you, that you would speak to our hearts, that you would lead and guide us, help us to know that we can trust you to show us our steps in life. And so, God, we ask that you would lead us in this time. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. A couple of things I just want to, just before we get on, and so it's not a distraction later, is I want to let you know, you heard Scott in the announcements mention the Advance or the Evangelism Conference. I just want to encourage you, if you are available or can, one of those days, Monday or Tuesday or both, would love to have you join me in going to that. I think it'll be a great encouragement. A couple of days of training and teaching. I know each one of us, it's tough. It's a Monday, Tuesday, so may not work out for you, but I would love for you to look at that and see. I think you'll be blessed and encouraged by it. Also want to let you know that we have in the Welcome Center, just from 2021, we have the contribution records there. This is just a way to help us, because otherwise we have to pay for postage times however many, you know, hundreds that we send out. It's just a way that we can be good stewards. If you're not comfortable with going by there, that's completely fine. It's a sealed envelope. They will be mailed out, whatever's not picked up. So just want to let you know they're there. If you would like to go by there after service and get that, that would be great. If you would, grab your Bibles and stand just in honor of the reading of his word. We'll start in 1 Peter chapter 5, and we'll start in verse 1. So I exhort the elders among you, as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another, for God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Father, again, as we come before you, we ask that you would speak to us through your word. We thank you that we are able to have it and to hold it. And we ask, Lord, that we would honor you through it. So God, help us to leave here changed because of your word. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Thank you so much. You can be seated. Here we are talking about spiritual leaders. You hear him exhort the elders. It is a challenge to them. And he mentions the word elders. And just in the way of helping us to understand who it is he's talking to, in the Bible, you will hear three different terms that are discussed when talking about the leaders of the church. You hear elders, you will hear shepherds or pastors, or you will hear overseers or those with oversight. These are three words that are used interchangeably throughout the New Testament as they are challenging churches to appoint elders or even leaders. Paul, in his letters to Timothy, is having him appoint elders or leaders within the church. Again, these are used interchangeably, and a couple of things I just want to note is they're always plural. And what I mean by that is there's always, at least in the New Testament, always more than one. And I think this is real important for us to understand, because in our culture, a lot of times we see specifically a change or a use of one of those terms is, and what we call here at First Skytook is pastor. And so I am one of the pastors here at this church, but as you'll see, is we have more than one. And it's very important, I believe, that a church has more than one. And it doesn't necessarily mean that every church needs to be paid or vocationally, but I think it's important that there are a plurality, because God always speaks and leads his church through the affirmation of his people. And when we can come together and we can get before the Lord, he speaks to our hearts, both as a congregation and as leaders of the church. And the enemy is, as we'll see later on here in chapter 5, he'll mention that there we have a devil who prowls around, this is verse 8, around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. And if there is just one man who is leading a group of people, then that is one man that the enemy needs to devour. Amen? And if he can get that one man to be off or to become distracted or to shift his focus away from the Lord onto self or to something in this world, then it affects the whole church. And I think that many of us have stories probably or maybe have experienced where someone, one man along the way was distracted or shifted focus. And so it is very important then that we look to the Word of God and understand the way in which He has called us to be led as a church. Amen? So that we can honor Him and make sure that we are functioning in the way that He has called us to do that. Henry Blackaby, in talking about spiritual leadership, a simple definition that he gives is one is spiritual leadership is moving people onto God's agenda. I love that. Spiritual leadership is moving people onto God's agenda. This is the call of the leaders of the church. Now, that is a very broad definition, and so to get a more clear definition, we'll need to focus in a little bit more. Here I have given or stolen a definition here, and I love it. It says an elder or pastor or bishop, overseer, these are the different words that are used throughout, is those uniquely called of God and given to the church to serve by leading the church to make disciples. These are uniquely gifted men or called men of God who have been given to the church to serve. And I love that word in there because this is the call. My job is to serve. It is to serve the Lord. And just as we see the model of Jesus, it is to serve you by putting your needs ahead of my own. It is this word to serve that is in used in such a way that God will be able to work in your lives and also in the life of our church. And there is a clear mission that He has given us, and that is to make disciples. You'll hear much more about making disciples as soon as we end 1 Peter. We will spend some time understanding what this is and what this looks like and should look like in our own personal lives, but also in the life of a church. And so these will be things that will be discussed in the days ahead. But working with this definition, there is a couple of things that I want us to see that we see here in 1 Peter chapter 5. And the first one is that pastors are called by God. He says, "So I exhort the elders among you." And he's talking about a fellow elder. But we can see that here, as Peter is pointing to this, he didn't call himself the apostle, in which he was. He could have tried to elevate himself over, but he says that he himself is also a spiritual leader. And so he exhorts that in the lives of the elders in which he is exhorting. And he tells them to exercise oversight, not by compulsion, but in other words, voluntarily. This is a called position. Other places we see that this is a position that not only is called by God, but it is one that is, if a man seeks this position, it is an honorable position. So it is something in his own life that he seeks out, but yet knows that is called by God. Give a little bit more understanding of that here in just a second. Now, with this and understanding, you specifically as a follower of Christ are called. You are called in some way to become or to minister in the life of the body to edify this church and the members of the church. Amen? You are called to do that, every one of us, but God has a very specific call on some men's life, and it is one that we must look at and understand. We are called to use our gifts to edify and to build up. And every pastor should have and should be able to clearly give you and understand his calling from God. When I was 16 years old, I gave my life to the Lord. And so when I look back at the own call upon my life, at the age of 17, I went to Falls Creek for the first time, and I remember sitting there, and I was asking God, why I was asking God, I'm not sure, but I was asking God this question: God, are you calling me to be in the ministry? May have been something that the pastor had said or had asked us to do, I'm not real sure, but this was my question: Lord, if I'm supposed to be in the ministry, would you show me? Would you lead me? In that moment, God did something very specific that helped me to see this call. Now, I was still really worried, and I didn't really want it to be true at all, so I didn't tell anybody about this, but I just knew, at least inside of me, that this was very much a strong possibility. I tried to explain it away, but it was very evident of His speaking to my heart. Fast forward a few years, I had, at this time, already had married Lindsay. I was pursuing a job to be a Tulsa fireman, had already done the testing and was waiting on an interview. Lindsay and I went on a mission trip to Guatemala, and on that trip, God really spoke to not only my heart, but to hers about ministry and what that meant for our lives. In coming back, we shared with our church about the trip. There just happened to be a pastor, right? What are the odds? There just happened to be a pastor there from a different church who was there to baptize his granddaughter. And afterward, he came to me and he says, Chad, he introduced himself and he says, I don't know if you've thought about this, but we are looking for a youth pastor and would love for you to give us a resume. Now, I didn't have a resume, really didn't have anything to put on a resume, and I told him that. And he says, I just put down something that that just talks about your walk with the Lord. Now, I had taught Sunday school a little bit, some middle school students, and so I had worked with students some, and so I did. We went and met with the church, and it was very evident of God's clear call. The very next week, after meeting with the church, we had not made any decision at this point, but I got another just random call. A pastor called me and said, hey, Chad, I don't know if you've thought about this, but we're looking for a youth pastor. Would this be something that you would be interested in? And I was like, all right, God, I'm hearing you. I understand. And so we ended up being clearly called by God and went to Big Cabin, where I served as youth pastor there, under a very godly man, and learned a lot from him. I tell you that story to tell you, and just in the way of understanding, that it is vital in ministry that you have a very clear call of God upon your life. I say that not only as a pastor, but also just as in ministry within the church. Because if I doubt my call, then when it is difficult, I can easily turn away from the ministry. But if I did not choose this life, but it was chosen for me, how can I choose to stop something I didn't start? Does that make sense? Now, if this is just a vocation that I choose so that I can further my life, and then I'll look at it as any other job. I'll try to climb some sort of ladder, and I'll always be looking to grow myself. But if this is a job that is instituted by God, then my job is no different than yours. It is to just be obedient every step of the way. Amen? Now, every one of us have a skill or job or passion, and I believe that God will clearly use those in our lives, and I think that we need to always be looking and ready to do that, because He'll use them for His glory. A passage of Scripture, God has used several passages to speak to my heart over the years, but I love this one. If you have your Bibles, turn back with me to Jeremiah chapter 1. I want you to hear this. God has used this to bring such encouragement to me. Jeremiah chapter 1, we'll start in verse 4. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, oh, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I'm only a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say I'm only a youth, for For to all to whom I send you, you shall go. And whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you. To deliver you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have set you this day over nations and over kingdoms to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. God's call here on Jeremiah's life, I, in many ways, must see that I have a very similar call. My call is to be set aside and to be used by God. And now listen, there is great responsibility and great fear with that. And just like Jeremiah, I can come and do often with the excuses of why I cannot be used to do that. But God, in the same way, reminds me of his presence right here with it. Isn't that awesome that throughout Scripture, this has been God's example or promise to Joshua, to Jeremiah? Do not be fearful. Do not turn, but uphold or keep my commands. Do not turn to the left or to the right. And he says, I will be with you. Don't be frightened by them. In the same way, in the same call on yours and my life to go and make disciples of all nations, it's the same promise. Go and make disciples of all nations. And he tells them, I will be with you until the end of the age. Do not be fearful. We sit here and have our excuses. Well, I don't know enough, or I don't know what to say, or I can't be used in this way. And I just want to tell you, all of that is a lie from the pit. You, as a follower of Christ, have been set apart, and God has placed himself in you. And he desires to use you. And now you can say, well, no, but I don't want to, or I can't, or, oh, please, no. But I just want to tell you that he desires to use you in a mighty way. I had went to, as the Wilhites were here and talked about church planning, I went with them, but I also went with another family, the Hobbs, to Colorado, and what they do is they do a evaluation of each of them, and they ask them about their call. They ask them about where God has specifically called them to plant. And in this evaluation that the North American Mission Board does, one of the things that they try to instill in every planter is a clear calling in their life. How do you know that God has called you specifically to church plant? And the reason why they focus on this so much is because there will be times that ministry will be awesome. But then there will be other times that not only ministry but life will be very difficult. There are the highest of highs when you are with someone, when God completely shows up in a divine encounter, when someone gives their life to the Lord. But then there are the lowest lows when you are walking with someone through the struggles of life, whether it be a mistake, a sin that they're involved in, or loss, or just a very difficult situation. The strains upon the family, the just burdens of the lost and walking with. And in these lowest of lows, I want to tell you that there would be times that I would come home and I would tell Lindsay, I don't even know what we're doing here. I have no idea what's going on. There has to be more to what God has called us to. There is an eternity that is that people are dying on the other sides of the world and our neighbors all around. What are we doing here? And Lindsay would listen. You know what she would do? She never would say, Chad, pull up your big girl panties and get, she didn't give me a hard time. She said, remember what God has called us to. And she would always point me back to the calling. Yeah, but the Lord has clearly given us a call to be right here. And in that time, I want you to know that it was a renewed passion and a renewed commitment every time as she would remind me. And there would be times that she would be, struggling and I would remind her. But I want you to know that it is important to know this calling that has come from God. And so we cannot stop what we didn't start. And so I have a question. I have a question that I believe that maybe some of you will look back to this very morning answering the question on whether God has truly called you. And my question is this. Is God calling you to be a pastor? Is God calling you to be a spiritual leader? It doesn't necessarily mean, we have in our mind that that means vocationally, right? That I'm going to be hired on at some church. Not necessarily. God, I believe, calls people. Where do pastors come from? They come from local churches just like this. In that moment, for whatever reason, when I was asked that question, God clearly spoke to my heart. And so I ask that question to you. Is God calling you to be a pastor, to be a leader, to be an elder, to be? And I believe only God can speak to your heart and show you that. And so that's been my prayer, is that this very moment that God would raise up men who would be willing to surrender to the call upon their lives. Number two, not only are pastors called, but pastors are given to the church. He says here that I exhort the elders, the pastors among you as a fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ. They are given to the church, and the church recognizes them as God's gift to them to serve them in that way. So when God is calling you, it will always be affirmed by his church. This is one of the beautiful things about spiritual leadership and the ways in which we do things is there'll be a man who has identified the calling upon his life, and then the church will begin to identify or at least look to see if they have that true calling in their life. If it's not seen by the church, then it may mean that they're not ready yet. But at some point, if they truly are called by God, the church as a whole will come around and alongside of them and affirm this calling on their life. And we see that throughout. Listen to Ephesians chapter 4 as Paul is writing and he talks about what God has given the church. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry. This is why we have spiritual leaders. It is to equip, it is to protect, it is to shepherd, it is to lead. And we'll see some more of that here in just a moment. Until we attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You see, God gives us spiritual leaders so that we will not remain stagnant. It is so we will not stay right where we're at, but we'll move on to the fullness in which Christ has and has called us to. And so as I look around this room, just knowing what it is to walk with the Lord, I can look you in the eye and know that there are some of you who have just been sidelined for whatever reason, right? You are just sitting, you are coasting, you come, you attend, you may give, you may lift your hands, you may worship, but for whatever reason, ministry-wise, you are not right now engaged in impacting someone else's life. And I just want you to know, my job is to come alongside and it is to encourage. It is to point you to the Word of God and to the Word of God alone. Because there is a clear call that I have as one of the pastors here at the church to teach the Word of God regardless of what you think. But it is to speak truth even if it's hard to hear. Amen? It is to speak truth even if you don't want to hear it. And so I come and I just want to tell you that is a job that has to be taken very serious, and it is a job that has a great responsibility, and we'll see why here as we continue on. And so I just want to say that I am so thankful for the pastors here at First SkyTook. I get to work alongside Scott and Drew, two men who are humble, who are servant-hearted, and are willing to do anything for the Lord. And what a great team that the Lord has here at First SkyTook. I just want to tell you that. But not only that, not only am I thankful for them, but I'm also thankful for you. Because you guys do a great job at honoring your pastors. I can speak for both Scott and Drew in saying that we are blown away at your encouragement and your honor that you show us. And so thank you so much. I'm so thankful for you guys. In 1 Thessalonians It says, this is chapter 5, it says, we ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. It says, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. I love how it says, those who labor among you. I've got to travel to many places of the world, and one of the places that I went was in India. And in India, for whatever reason, along the way, some of the pastors have started believing that the people need to serve them. And so they have these very, in some cases, have these very elaborate chairs that they sit in. They almost look like thrones. And they have the great seats of honor. And I understand to a point, because of the verses we just read, there should be honor that is shown. But there needs to be also an understanding that I am to be very humble. And I am to make sure that I, as Jesus came, not to be served, but to serve. I must be willing to serve and to do anything that I would ever ask someone else to do. Amen? Because I must lead and serve by example. And I think that that is very clear throughout Scripture. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, it says, let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. Our response is honor and respect. You know, I told you this is a little bit awkward to teach, because ultimately what I'm saying is I'm a gift here to First Baptist Sky Church, and I don't mean to say that at all. I'm just saying that it is one that comes with a great responsibility. Just as the Bible exhorts and challenges you to honor leadership, it is done conditionally. Just as it talks about husbands and wives and how the wives are to honor and submit to their husbands, it is with the knowledge of knowing that there is a greater authority than your husband. Amen? Wives are elbowing their husbands right now. There is a greater authority, which is Jesus. He is upon the throne. Is his word. He is the ultimate authority. So in the same way, I want to tell you, as one of the pastors here, you need to honor and encourage and submit to the leadership of the church if I am teaching the Word of God, and if I'm modeling the character of God. So it is conditional, because there is an ultimate authority, which is God himself. And so if I do something that is outside of the Word of God, if I say something that you say, you sit there and be like, wait, I don't think the Scripture really says that, then I want to beg of you, come and talk to me about it. Because if I need to stand and apologize, or sometimes I say something and meaning something in my head, but it lands completely different, you know, my wife is good about pointing those out to me. Hey, you said this. I know what you mean, but you might need to clarify, because it could. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I guess it could. So there will be times that I may need to apologize or bring clarity to something. And I want you to know that because I understand the responsibility of what it means to be a spiritual leader, I want to make sure that I only say what is in the bounds of this word and this truth. And if I don't, please come talk to me. Please, one of the things I work really hard at is I want to be approachable about anything. The hardest of conversations, the most difficult, I want to be approachable, to be able to discuss the hard things, because we are in this together. Amen? Last thing I want us to see, pastors serve by leading the church to accomplish the mission. The mission is clear. We are called to make disciples. And so by doing this, we are to lead by example. Here, Peter uses all three terms in talking about spiritual leaders. He starts off and he addresses the elders. This word elder is actually taken from the Jewish and Greek culture. It is a word that means the presence of God is seen in their life. In other words, it is talking about the example in which they are, that they set. So my primary call is not ministry, but it is intimacy. This is something that I have tried to help us to see over and over since I've been here, is we are called to abide with Jesus. If we do not abide with Jesus, then we will become prideful. We will think that we have it together. But the as we walk in humility, we see a need for Jesus in our lives, and so therefore we run to him. And I am to lead by example. So it is very important that I do that. My primary call each day is to be with Jesus. And Jesus then will lead me. So my ministry will be an overflow of my time with Jesus. And I believe that. And that is something that we have talked as staff about too, is that it is vital that we spend time with Jesus. In doing that, there will be times that as pastors, we have to say no to things. Because of the call upon my life is intimacy, there will be times that I will have to say no, and that's really hard because I always want to serve. I want to make sure that I'm available to do that, but I just want to let you know, because if I please God, it doesn't matter then who I displease. If I displease God, then it really doesn't matter then who I please. The thing is that each one of us, as followers of Christ, need to seek that when we lay our heads down at night, that we have lived our lives that day to glorify the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and not man. And so we must be careful of how we lead. Next thing that we see, the word that he uses is that we are to lead by shepherding. We are to lead by shepherding. This word shepherd here, as he says that they are to shepherd the flock. This is verse 2. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you. This word shepherd is one that we have translated and we use here at our church as the word pastor. This word shepherd is a selfless care and sacrificial love of the sheep. We all need a shepherd, and it is clear of the calling of that. If you would turn with me back to 2 Timothy, I want you to see this in chapter 3. In 2 Timothy 3:16 is where we'll start. It says that all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Sounds very similar to the call of pastors, is to equip the saints for the ministry, for the work of ministry. Chapter 4, verse 1, it says, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. You see that we are to be ready in season and out of season. And so the calling here is to feed the sheep. It is to teach the word of God. And so it is to feed, but it is also to protect. One of the jobs that we have as pastors is to make sure that we are protecting this church against false teaching. Therefore, when we have teachers, we make sure that they are teaching the truth of God's word. Otherwise, we try to make sure anytime that we hear that someone is not, that we just sit down and clarify and make sure as to what is being taught. This is one of the things. I remember back several years ago when I was at Inola, there was a gentleman who showed up at our church, and he began to go and he began bouncing around to small groups, and he had an agenda as to why he was there. There was a doctrine that he had believed and a book he had written about that, and he had began to try to teach and to influence our teachers to teach something that was against the Word of God. And so I had to sit down and meet with him and try to clarify as to what his intentions were, and ultimately I had to ask him if he was not to uphold the Word of God in its clear teachings as we went to the passages of Scripture, that he would, I would ask him not to come, because he wasn't coming to learn, he was coming to teach a false doctrine. And so these are things we must be willing to do. The last word that he uses here is the word that has been translated as bishop or overseer. It is the word here, he says, going back to 1 Peter chapter 5, he uses the word exercising oversight. This word oversight is a word, it is the Apeo, it is the word that we get the word scope for. It is to watch over or to look. And in many ways, this is what he has called us as spiritual leaders to do. It is to watch over. In Hebrews 13, I love this. You can look at it on the screen. It says, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls. They're keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. Our job is to keep watch over your souls. And so therefore, as spiritual leaders, we should always be pointing to the Word of God, helping you to realize that this is not your home, but that we have a kingdom in which we are called to, and therefore the works of ministry should be to enlarge the kingdom. And it should be to glorify our God. And so therefore, as we see in all throughout 1 Peter, this is what he has done. Listen, there is suffering that is going to happen. There is persecution that is happening right now. And so therefore, he challenges the leaders, the pastors, to watch over the flock, to make sure that if some of them are starting to stumble or to become weak, to go to them and to nurture them back and to encourage them. To be that example that even as they face persecution, to keep the faith and to stay strong, to endure even in the midst of persecution. You hear the heart of Peter as he challenges the leaders to make sure that they are caring for the sheep, that they are watching over, that they are looking at and trying to identify. And so this is the call that he has for us, is that we would understand that we are called and to be equipped for the work of ministry. If our job as spiritual leaders is to help equip you, then the thing that I want to challenge you with in application is that you would be teachable. Is that you would run to the Word of God with a heart of expectancy that he would speak to your heart and change you. We are all the time, he is trying to transform us to become more and more like him. If you have not reached the point to where you are like Jesus, then there is still work to be done. Amen? Some of us, that's pretty easy to see, right? I know for me, he has got a long ways to go. So my job then is to run to him and to say, here I am. I'm flawed. I can be selfish at times. I know that this call to humility that we'll see in the verses ahead is one that is speaking directly to me. And so therefore we come and are teachable. We come with an expectancy that God through his word would help us to see. There is a mission that he has called us to, and that is to make disciples. As I've told you, there will be things that we will talk about over the next several weeks. My prayer is that you will be equipped to understand clearly what that means for you in being a disciple, but also this call in making a disciple and how very specifically and practically you can be involved in that. And so the first one is to be teachable, but the next one is to be obedient. When God speaks in his word, he tells us that we are to be obedient to his commands. And as you are obedient to the commands of Christ, that means that it will require you to step out in faith. It will require you to say, God, here I am, willing and ready to be obedient. Show me my next step. And so our question then to God is, now what? What's next? What are you calling me to do right now? In the way of application, as a pastor here at the church, I just want to challenge you. Be teachable. Be ready to be equipped for the works that he has called of you. And this is encouraging because he is with us. And he is the one who does the equipping. Our pastors don't equip. Our pastors teach his truth. And then the Holy Spirit does the rearranging. And so we can trust him. Lindsay and I love having people over to our home. And let's just say I invited Martha over to our house for dinner. And so dinner wasn't ready yet, and so we said, Martha, come on in, make yourself at home here in the living room. We're going to go ahead and finish up dinner in the kitchen. You're more than welcome to join us, but Martha's like, you know, I'll just hang out here in the living room. And so she does, and she says, well, you know, he said to make myself at home, and if this was my home, I think I would rather have the couch on that wall. And so let's just say that Martha you know, which she's pretty strong anyway. But she moves this couch against a different wall. And, you know, if this was my home, the TV wouldn't be there, but I would probably have it over here. And so she grabbed the TV and moved it herself. And then I came, just happened to hear what was going on. And so I came from out of the kitchen. I said, "Martha, what are you doing?" "Well, you said to make myself at home. And if this was my home, this is what I would do." Now, I would really be questioning Martha about working with her, right? Because there must be something loose there. But in many ways, this is what we do to our God. "God, here I am. I surrender to you. Everything. Here I am." And then God goes to start trying to rearrange the things in our life to line up with his will and his plan. "What, God, what are you doing? I don't want to move that. I have these things set in my life because I want them there. Martha, I don't want that couch on that wall." And then God is like, "But you see, when you gave your life to me, you gave up all rights. You gave up all yourself. It is no longer you who lives, but it is me. And so my question and my challenge to you, will you let God rearrange the things in your life so that he can make you more like him? Will you let him lead you and rearrange the things in your life so that you can become the leader that maybe he is calling you to be? Or will you allow him to rearrange the things in your life so that you can do the works of ministry that he has already prepared for you to do?" Let's get before the Lord. Father, we bow before you and are so thankful for your truth this morning. God, I ask that you would help us to understand truly what you have called, not only in our pastors, but even in each one of us. That, Lord, that we would look to you, that we would allow you to make changes in our lives so that we can be equipped, so that we can be ready to do the works that you've called us to do. God, I pray that we would understand the mission that you have called us to, and that we would be willing to sacrifice for the sake of the mission. And so, God, we love you, we need you. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray.